The conflict between Bahrain's Shia majority population and its Sunni ruling elite took a new turn today as a military force of over 1,000 troops from neighboring Saudi Arabia entered Bahrain. Yesterday, protesters in Bahrain blocked the main route to the nation's financial district and fought pro-government forces at the country's main university. Saudi security officials are quoted today as saying the military force is now there under the authority of the six-member regional group, the Gulf Cooperation Council, to protect Bahraini government facilities. Shadi Hamid is a fellow at the Brookings Institution. He's in the region where he's director of research at the Brookings Doha Center. And I know, Shadi, you're on your cell phone. We'll have a little delay, perhaps. But tell us, what do we know about these troops, and what does it mean that they're entering another country?
Sure. It's obviously a big, unprecedented step. I mean, we haven't seen something like this in a long time. A foreign country is entering presumably sovereign country. And these troops, I mean, people are calling it a GCC force. That's not entirely, it may be technically true, but for all intents and purposes, this is a Saudi Arabian intervention. These are Saudi troops, and they're using the GCC as a legitimizing mechanism and to kind of give themselves some cover and make it seem more acceptable in international eyes. But Saudi Arabia has been worried about Bahrain's stability for some time now, and they essentially said enough is enough.
Well, because Saudi Arabia also has a largely Shia population led by Sunni rulers, and we know Bahrain's king has been under tremendous pressure from his Gulf neighbors like Saudi Arabia not to make concessions to these demonstrators. But I guess, do we know, did Bahrain's king invite these troops in, or is Saudi Arabia taking its own initiative, again, as you say, and as others have said, under the cover of this sort of Gulf Cooperation Council?
Well, Bahrain's certainly not against it. The Bahraini regime feels under a lot of pressure. They don't really know how to deal with their protest. It's people have been occupying various parts of the city, and it escalated in recent days when protesters essentially took over the financial area of the city. And that is a red line for the regime, because Bahrain depends on its business-friendly image. And without that, they don't have a lot to offer. Bahrain is not oil-rich. So for them, when they saw this, when they saw these protesters moving into new parts of the city, that was a major development from their standpoint. So they don't really know what to do. They talked about a national dialogue, but they're not serious. They haven't been serious about it, and they haven't offered real concessions to the protesters. So we've been at a stalemate for quite some time now. So I think this is a way to undo the stalemate. At least that's how the Bahraini leadership sees it.
Shadi, by the way, I misspoke. Saudi Arabia does not have a Shia majority, but it does have Sunni rulers who, like other Sunni rulers in the region, have been looking nervously at Shia populations in other countries, you know, overthrowing their leadership. I guess just in the minute or so that we have, what happens now, and how much is the fact that Muammar Gaddafi is pushing back his opposition in Libya, is that at all impacting decisions in other countries?
Well, I think in some ways the Arab Spring is becoming an Arab winter, that after the optimism of the first couple revolutions, a lot of these countries are stuck now. Gaddafi is pushing back effectively, and I think leaders are learning that sometimes you have to fight back, you shouldn't give in. And Mubarak and Tunisia's president before him, they gave in too easily. So this, I think, is the new emerging consensus among some of these leaders. You just got to dig in your heels and try to wait everyone out. And especially now with the whole world focusing on Japan and Libya, no one really cares about Bahrain that much. There are a few Western journalists there compared to a few weeks ago when there were a lot of people. So the world isn't watching, so Saudi troops can go in, and if they want to use live ammunition, how much will the world really care?
Well, hopefully people like you will continue to bring us news of it. Shadi Hamid, a fellow at the Brookings Institution and director of research at the Brookings Doha Center. Thank you so much, Shadi, as always.
Thanks for having me.